Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We now join President Obama live. He's just started a news conference, and he's starting it with a statement, kind of laying down the law to Congress, saying what he's done to avoid the debt ceiling debacle that will be upon us soon.
Turns out the American people agree with me. They listened to an entire year's debate over this issue, and they made a clear decision about the approach they prefer. They don't think it's fair, for example, to ask a senior to pay more for his or her health care or a scientist to shut down life-saving research so that a multimillionaire investor can pay less in tax rates than a secretary. They don't think it's smart to protect endless corporate loopholes and tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans rather than rebuild our roads and our schools, invest in our workers' skills, or help manufacturers bring jobs back to America. So they want us to get our books in order in a balanced way, where everybody pulls their weight, everyone does their part. That's what I want as well. That's what I've proposed. And we can get it done, but we're going to have to make sure that people are looking at this in a responsible way, rather than just through the lens of politics. Now, the other congressionally imposed deadline coming up is the so-called debt ceiling, something most Americans hadn't even heard of before 2 years ago. So I want to be clear about this. The debt ceiling is not a question of authorizing more spending. Raising the debt ceiling does not authorize more spending. It simply allows the country to pay for spending that Congress has already committed to. These are bills that have already been racked up, and we need to pay them. So while I'm willing to compromise and find common ground over how to reduce our deficits, America cannot afford another debate with this Congress about whether or not they should pay the bills they've already racked up. If congressional Republicans refuse to pay America's bills on time, Social Security checks and veterans benefits will be delayed. We might not be able to pay our troops or honor our contracts with small business owners. Food inspectors, air traffic controllers, specialists who track down loose nuclear materials wouldn't get their paychecks. Investors around the world will ask if the United States of America is, in fact, a safe bet. Markets could go haywire. Interest rates would spike for anybody who borrows money. Every homeowner with a mortgage, every student with a college loan, every small business owner who wants to grow and hire. It would be a self-inflicted wound on the economy. It would slow down our growth, might tip us into recession, and ironically, would probably increase our deficit. So to even entertain the idea of this happening, of the United States of America not paying its bills, is irresponsible. It's absurd. As the Speaker said 2 years ago, it would be, and I'm quoting Speaker Boehner now, a financial disaster not only for us, but for the worldwide economy. So we've got to pay our bills. And Republicans in Congress have two choices here. They can act responsibly and pay America's bills, or they can act irresponsibly and put America through. But they will not collect a ransom in exchange for not crashing the American economy. The financial well-being of the American people is not leveraged to be used. The full faith and credit of the United States of America is not a bargaining chip. And they'd better choose quickly because time is running short. The last time Republicans in Congress even flirted with this idea, our AAA credit rating was downgraded for the first time in our history. Our business has created the fewest jobs of any month in nearly the past 3 years. And ironically, the whole fiasco actually added to the deficit.
President Obama, live opening statement from a news conference he's just beginning. We'll go back in a minute. Let's talk about what we were just listening to with Ben Smith, who's the editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed.com. Hi, Ben, first of all.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So he was laying down his side of the argument to the Republicans on the latest, you know, gridlock polarized budget showdown, which I guess is coming March 1st. And he's right on the basic fact, isn't he? And I think most Americans don't get this, about what the debt ceiling actually is. It's not new spending. It's that Congress has passed its budget with more spending than tax revenue. So the only way to close that gap is to borrow the difference. And so we just have to do that to pay our bills?
Yeah, right. That's right. This isn't directly bear on the spending debate. It's about how much we owe and money we have already borrowed and in a lot, most cases, already spent. Although it's obviously, I mean, the fact that, it is certainly a symptom of the fact that the country has quite a lot of debt.
And I understand politically why the Republicans or anybody concerned with the debt would use the debt ceiling as an opportunity to raise the issue publicly. But if the president is trying to establish here that he's not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling, he's not going to have policies about entitlement spending and taxes and other things held hostage to what is basically a phony threat because they're not going to fail to pay the bills, then he's just not going to negotiate on that point. So he's trying to set that up and get the American people on his side on that. What's the Republican pushback?
I mean, right now the Republican line is we're not bluffing, we are that crazy.
Okay.
And that's what you see in Politico today, in particular, there's a story
in because the president was now just asked about Newtown and guns. Let's listen live.
Stakeholders in this, including the NRA, listen to proposals from all quarters, and they've presented me now with a list of sensible, common sense steps that can be taken to make sure that the kinds of violence we saw at Newtown doesn't happen again. I'm going to be meeting with the Vice President today. I expect to have a fuller presentation later in the week to give people some specifics about what I think we need to do. My starting point is not to worry about the politics. My starting point is to focus on what makes sense, what works. What should we be doing to make sure that our children are safe and that we're reducing the incidence of gun violence? And I think we can do that in a sensible way that comports with the Second Amendment. And then members of Congress, I think, are going to have a debate and examine their own conscience. Because, you know, if in fact, and I believe this is true, everybody across party lines was as deeply moved and saddened as I was by what happened in Newtown, then we're going to have to vote based on what we think is best. We're going to have to come up with answers that set politics aside. And that's what I expect Congress to do. But what you can count on is that the things that I've said in the past, the belief that we have to have stronger background checks, that we can do a much better job in terms of keeping these magazine clips with high capacity out of the hands of folks who shouldn't have them, a ban that is meaningful, that those are things I continue to believe make sense. Okay, will all of them get through this Congress? I don't know. But what's uppermost in my mind is making sure that I'm honest with the American people and with members of Congress about what I think will work, what I think is something that will make a difference. And to repeat what I've said earlier, if there is a step we can take that will save even one child from what happened in Newtown, we should take that step. I'll present the details later in the week. Chuck Todd, NBC.
Thank you, sir. As you know, Senate Democrats, Harry Reid sent you a letter begging you, essentially, to consider some sort of executive action on this debt ceiling issue. I know you've said you're not negotiating on it. Your administration has ruled out the various ideas that have been out there, the 14th Amendment, but just this morning, one of the House Democratic leaders, Jim Clyburn, asked you to use the 14th Amendment and even said, sometimes that's what it takes. He brought up the Emancipation Proclamation as saying it took executive action when Congress wouldn't act, and he compared the debt ceiling to that. So are you considering a Plan B? And if not, why not?
Well, Chuck, the issue here is whether or not America pays its bills. We are not a deadbeat nation. And so there's a very simple solution to this. Congress authorizes us to pay our bills. Now, if the House and the Senate want to give me the authority so that they don't have to take these tough votes, if they want to put the responsibility on me to raise the debt ceiling, I'm happy to take it. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, had a proposal like that last year, and I'm happy to accept it. But if they want to keep this responsibility, then they need to go ahead and get it done. And you know, there are no magic tricks here. There are no loopholes. There are no easy outs. This is a matter of Congress authorizes spending. They order me to spend. They tell me you need to fund our Defense Department at such and such a level. You need to send out Social Security checks. You need to make sure that you are paying to care for our veterans. They lay all this out for me, and because they have the spending power, and so I am required by law to go ahead and pay these bills. Separately, they also have to authorize a raising of the debt ceiling in order to make sure that those bills are paid. And so what Congress can't do is tell me to spend X and then say, but we're not going to give you the authority to go ahead and pay the bills. And I just want to repeat, because I think sometimes the American people understandably aren't following all the debates here in Washington. Raising the debt ceiling does not authorize us to spend more. All it does is say that America will pay its bills. And we are not a deadbeat nation. And the consequences of us not paying our bills, as I outlined in my opening statement, would be disastrous.
So President Obama coming back to repeat what he said in his opening statement in that news conference that is going on live right now. We have Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Ben, first of all, what's this 14th Amendment hook? We think of the 14th Amendment as, you know, the Equal Protection Clause against racial discrimination and other kinds of discrimination. What does it have to do with the debt ceiling?
Well, there have been a number of sort of creative proposals to basically say forget the debt limit. One is about executive power. That's the 14th Amendment argument, basically saying, you know what, the president actually can do this unilaterally. The more popular one lately has been the notion that the president could mint a $1 trillion platinum coin and just raise the amount in America's treasury that way without raising the debt limit. That's something the Fed shut down.
That wasn't a
shut
joke
down over the weekend.
That wasn't a joke, the $1 trillion coin?
It started as a joke, but like so much that starts as jokes these days in Washington, it sort of became real for a minute.
But the president or the administration did shoot that down. But he did seem to leave the window open in a crack in his answer there to doing something unilaterally without Congress through an executive order of some kind if Congress won't give him a debt ceiling hike in time. Did you hear it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's saying, and it did not strike me he was saying with utter conviction that, you know, I will absolutely not negotiate, I'm calling these people's bluff.
Yeah.
He did seem to me to, and I think, you know, so there are certainly folks on the Hill in particular who see the 14th Amendment, and the context of that was basically, it's this element of the 14th Amendment that was passed to make sure that the executive branch could kind of shut down revanchist Southern attempts to kind of paralyze the government. but basically use that to unilaterally raise the debt ceiling.
And he reiterated his position on guns that we've heard before. He didn't make any news there. He's repeating his positions on the debt ceiling. So why did he call this news conference if he's not saying anything new?
This president does not like doing news conferences very much, has given very few, and I think oftentimes them for the moments when they will have the least impact. I think this sort of down week before the inauguration
really?
Is one. I think he's trying to sort of put a punctuation mark on the first term. But I think, part of it is the press gets very restless if you don't, answer their questions once in a while.
You think he's going to be asked about Mali and whether the U.S. needs to send in some kind of troops or support for France to beat back Al-Qaeda?
I mean, lots of things I'd love to know. I wonder what he thinks of Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, maybe they won't quite get to Lance Armstrong, but all right.
That's why you should take more questions. But yes.
I guess we will leave it there with Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you want to continue to listen to the president's news conference live, we are streaming it on our website. You can go to WNYC.org or stay right here and listen to the Leonard Lopate Show coming up next. Another issue still on the table in Washington, of course, is the Sandy relief bill. They're going to vote on that tomorrow. We will cover it tomorrow live on The Brian Lehrer Show.